Essentially, what 1,000 True Fans is, it's 1,000 people that support your work or the thing that you're doing, and they would essentially transact with the thing that you're selling.
The number of followers that you have doesn't really matter. It's how many of the people that click that follow or subscribe button are willing to go out of their way to give you more than just a like or a comment. Are they willing, like you said, to transact outside of this social media thing?
Something that you guys should think about, though, is the quality of these relationships you're building, not the quantity. You take the person who has 1 million, but their audience isn't engaged, you take the person with 50,000, you're taking the person with 50,000 every day of the week of the most engaged audience.
To garner a true fan, you have to put out good work. You're not like, yo, I love this dude. His shit's like, meh.
For the supporters that are really rocking with you, have that Discord, have the newsletter, have another way, another platform where people can congregate in case something were to happen where Congress takes away TikTok and then you're sitting there like a fish out of water because you didn't diversify the platforms that you were using and engaging on.
If you can build direct relationships where you're not fighting against an algorithm, you're direct to consumer, you can hit them directly, you know they're gonna see it. Focus on those relationships because that's where you're able to build a deeper connection with your followers.
But I think establishing in your head some level of consistency that you can stick to. And if you say you're gonna do something, do it. Don't make a promise that you can't keep.
You may not wanna hear it, that it's gonna take a while, but to really garner a true fan, it takes a while. Things worth building take time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 106 of the 505 podcast. We got the one-handed crack presented by Leisure Hydration. Here we go. I'm feeling hot. Oh, you know, there's no dents. It just wasn't smooth. 6-1.
It was less smooth than you're used to, but you're also a little under the weather, so it wasn't.
My allergies are killing me, so that's got to be what it is.
So before I do this, last pod, I got an NA because I started with my finger under the tap.
Which you did.
Before I lifted it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way. I watched the replay and you guys were right.
I was right, huh?
I didn't realize I was doing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to not do that.
I knew I was right. Jeez.
I just can never get my fucking finger under it. I'm running back. Deduct some points.
Okay, okay.
Just a dent and not smooth. Dude, I just don't got the one-handed crack. That was bad.
Oh my Lord.
We got dent central. Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. One of my worst.
Oh my God. You might want to cut that
part out, dude. Cheers. You know? I'm really good at a lot.
Nothing like an ice cold Leisure.
Not a one-handed crack.
Yeah, dude. There's just taxes.
Oh, this is cold.
Yeah, it's really good when it's cold, dude, like that. They did a minor tweak to the flavor.
Oh, yeah?
Made it a little bit sweeter.
That's
what I was told from my inside sources. It's amazing. Big fan.
A little sweeter. Dude, it just kind of hits different when it's cold.
You got to have it ice cold. Yeah. Ice cold's the only way to do it. You know, what's also interesting, last week was tax week, dude. And it just burns my ass. Every single year, April 15th rolls around and I'm like, you know what? The balcony's looking mighty nice.
Just want to jump off.
And I just think that as a collective unit, we got to abolish those things, man.
Yeah. Or you got to find ways to pay less. I will say.
It just hurts every year. They just whip it out of your account and you're like, whoa, I thought that wasn't all yours.
Yeah.
You know?
You know. I'm a little bit closer to like an October guy because I typically file for an extension, which I did this year again. Uh-huh. So it's one of those things where it's like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
You're just out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Also, you ran for your new PB, personal best.
Yes.
27 minutes, right? Or 30?
30.
Oh, 30.
And even 30.
Oh, and even 30. My bad. I didn't mean to diminish those 3 minutes.
It's all good. The I'm not going to let you bring me down.
Uh-huh.
The total mileage was 2.86.
That's where I had 2.86.
So am I a little bummed that I didn't run a full 3?
I was just going to ask. So what was, you just couldn't stick out that 0.14?
Well, I will. 0.14. I will say I set on the Nike running app. I was just like, my goal, I want to run 30 minutes, and however long that is, okay, whatever. I don't think I've ever ran 30 minutes straight in my life. So it was big. And I really do enjoy running, but we were talking last night, like my knees were like hot and sore. Like, and I was like, I could only imagine what Braden feels like after running these 18 milers like training for a marathon.
I see all these people posting that they've just fell in love with it. And I'm like, I think they're dating a different girl than I'm dating, because I'm not in love with it yet. And I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship.
I also feel like you've put in enough times, you've gotten enough reps in where you would know by now.
I'd know if I love her. If I want to give her a ring, and I don't. Yeah. I don't want to give her a ring. I think that this is, it's like...
How are you going to end it, or are you going to...
I don't know. I was talking to some buddies about this, and we were saying that it is a cool way to train. Like, I think there's some, like, I feel way more fit being like having ran. I haven't worked out. I've worked out like one or two times in the last like 50 days, physically lifting weights. Yeah. And I don't like that, but I...
Well, part of that was your hand.
Yeah, my hand got messed up. My hand is now better. Dude, I got the Wacom tablet. Yeah. I just don't like the tablet. Me and Sharif were editing the other night in my room, and I just switched the mouse. I am 97 times faster with the mouse. The whole problem with the tablet is if you could use the tablet with like a scroll, that's the whole issue, right? Is like you can't physically use it as like a trackpad. So if I had like a trackpad too, but then I'm over here, I'm like moving here.
Sure.
Going back, it just seems redundant to do that. So I'm back with the mouse.
Could be a physical product in the future.
Yeah, maybe I make a scrolly thing. But yeah, I don't know, man. Running is for the birds. And we have 26.2 of them that I'm going to run on May 5th.
Do you feel ready?
I feel very ready. I'm not looking forward to it, but I feel ready.
Dude, I've told you this before. I think your adrenaline is going to on another level. I just feel like lining up and being amongst everybody else doing it. Like when you're training, you're doing it solo. But then race day, you're like, wow, we're all doing this together.
Energy of all these people. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for it to be over with. I can't give you my verdict if I want to run more. I don't know yet. I feel like after the day, I will have a decision. I have so much time, four hours to ponder my whole life, my whole life story, and see if it's something that I want to continue doing. I will say our gym has helped out a ton, and that's been cool. Going to the Monarch and having the ice bath, the sauna, and just like a place, a big, big mat where I could like stretch out, have the foam rollers, have the, you know, it's been awesome. Oh, and I didn't have to buy those leg sleeves that are like $900. They have them there.
Those help.
So I just pop in, I journal a little bit, and then I'll go hit the ice bath, and then I bounce.
You journal while you have the leg things on?
While I have the legs, yeah, because you're just sitting there for an hour.
Killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, exactly. Getting the mind right, getting the legs right, and then you go hop in the plunge for like, you know, I've been doing it for 5 minutes and 5 seconds for principal.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, 505?
Yeah, just for principal, but it's been good. You know, we'll see.
We got a good thing going with that gym though, huh?
God, I love that gym.
You know, it's funny. Your relationship with this girl called Marathon, right? It's similar to when you're in a relationship and like you take a big trip, you really test your relationship, right? It's like, you know, this is great, you know, being at home and like we're going on a few dates, you know, take her out to dinner. It's different when you go on a weekend trip. You see if you can travel together.
This is like a 2 month long trip is what it feels like. Yeah. And I don't know if I want to continue, but I've been working on other cool stuff. I finished a program, a new one that I've spent the last like probably 6 months working on.
Tell me about it.
It's a personal brand program. It's for people who, regardless of the field, whether you're in real estate, whether you're a filmmaker, whether you know, own a small business, to teach people how to make content and how to actually build out their personal brand, the platforms that they should be using, how often they should be posting, all that good stuff, how to find your voice on social. I feel like that's not really talked about a ton, and just every mess up that I've made along the last 10 years of creating content. It's been super fun. I'm almost done. I'm editing all these videos. There's like 54 vids that I've made. So it's been fun, and I'm going to do it in like a cohort situation. So I'm going to do it in like 6 week increments. When this is done officially, when I've edited it all, I will make a podcast and give you some of my favorite tips, I think, you know, throughout this journey that I've found. But dude, it's interesting, and it goes along with the thing of today's pod. Yeah.
How has this time creating a course compared to your sports filmmaking course? How has that process been? Are there things that you learned in the sports filmmaking course creating that you've taken into this? Like, has the time in which you've been able to create this new course shortened?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first time I ever did a program, it took me over a year just because I wanted to get it right. And I was going through so much learning from what software do you use?
Yeah.
What how many videos should you put into it? And you kind of learn this by talking to people and surveying them and seeing, hey, if I was to put out something like this, does this sound like something that would be really helpful to you? And then I just talk to people and give them the information and say, hey, this is what I'm going to talk about. This is an example of it. Is this helpful for you? What do you feel like it's missing? And so people almost help you create the programs or the things that you're going to sell. Sure. And I feel like that's a much smarter way to do it rather than just making it something and then trying to just put it out to the public. Whereas you already know that 20 people found it really helpful. It's like, okay, I have a good case study of people that actually are using it and partaking in it. So that was different. And I feel like this time it's just immediately writing the damn thing, recording it and editing it rather than you dwell on it. And you're like, oh, should I make something. And as you get going, like I made another 10 extra videos after I was done from surveying more people and talking with them, like, oh, that would be really helpful. Yeah. Or, you know, someone asks you a question in the DM and then you get another spark of idea. Yeah. Oh, I can make this video and this would be also very helpful. It's fun. And I like the process of creating, marketing it, building the back end of it. It's very interesting. And you almost are making these like mini brands within, you know, this ecosystem of things that you're producing or putting out, which is interesting because they're their own little entities of either education or physical, like a hoodie or like a digital product that's completely separate that they just buy. And so it's interesting. And I like it because I think that it makes the things that I make for other brands better because I'm learning more about, okay, well, would I click on this? Or what's this website experience like? What's the user experience like? When you go on other websites of other known brands, clothing, whatever, you learn certain things from the things that they're doing. And you're like, oh, they have a pop-up for their email and they give you 15% off if you put in your email for that. Why do they do that? Well, they want to send you emails about their drops, you know?
Customers who bought this also like this.
They love exactly. They love doing that on Amazon. They'll say like 49 people bought this in the last, that's cap usually, 99. Yeah. It's like a pop-up of some sort. So you learn all these things about how websites work and the things that they're doing to help you try to get to the checkout. It's pretty interesting.
I'm going to have to pick your brain a lot because this past weekend, I actually finished filming my first digital product course, which I'm really excited to tell you guys about. It's my concert photography masterclass. And similar to how you just said, like, you know, kind of coming up with that idea and then putting it off and like just kind of getting into it. I've talked to you about wanting to make this for so long and I put it off partly because it felt like a very daunting task. Like it's not easy to, you know, come up with everything that you want to say and then film these videos and then edit it. And I originally was going to make it as just like a downloadable PDF, but I'm making it similar to like the pricing guide that we made where we have the PDF and then I'm just talking. And then I realized it takes so much longer to film the actual videos and talk through all the information. I mean, it's taken me a week and a half to 2 weeks and I still have to edit the videos, but like to really dial in the Google Docs, I already had it dialed in, but I continue to fix things and then make the PDF look nice and then talk through everything. I was like locked in my room and locked in the house for the past 2 weeks. So I'm excited to get that out and it should be done. I'm hoping to edit it within the next like week and get it out.
It's going to be sick, dude. Yeah. You know what's as sick as this new set that we got? I hope you guys like it. Hope you noticed the wood panels that we got behind. We also just got our neon sign that's coming in.
It's right over there.
Yeah, it's right over there.
We just need a task rabbit because we're not Chase is leaving us.
And Chase is capping about for, actually being for 2 weeks, dude. He's more like a faux handy guy. You know, he says he's handy. But our last neon sign, it's boarded up now, thank God. There was 6 holes in the wall that he misdrilled before he got it.
Dude, I remember watching
he got
him.
And I was like, dude, he's like, no, I got this. Yeah, and I'm like, no, you've ruined the wall, but it's fine. And
it's all good.
It's all good, dude. This guy's going to do it one take, one shot Tommy. He's going to get that neon sign up and we got new wood panels so we can actually finish the other side.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great, dude. We've really, and the best part is, dude, people can stop bitching to us that the sign's not on.
Yeah.
That's what people always comment that. Why isn't the sign on? Well, dude, we broke it. Yeah. We broke it the first week we had it. So now we're going to do a really good job.
It's going to be centered. It's going to be leveled.
Centered and leveled.
It's really going to bring this whole thing together.
And we're not going to break the cord. We're going to tape it to the wall. So there's no way that someone can actually go under there and slice that cord up.
Yeah. This side of the set looks great. This side's struggling a little bit today. We're missing a C-stand for the light. It's all good, dude.
Dude, they can't. No one would know, though.
No.
You know? Exactly. It's just very illuminated. Feels good, feels right. Yeah, I wish
you guys could see what our living room and kitchen looks like right now, man. But the set, dude,
And I got a new chair. You don't have the new chair yet.
Yeah, yeah.
We've only built one of them, but we have three more cushioned chairs. So we're just moving up, dude.
We're moving up.
Moving
in
up
the world.
In the world, dude. And we got a fire pod though for you guys. We listened to a South by Southwest speech by Jack Conte, who is the CEO of Patreon. And he did this keynote on the idea of the death of the follower was what it was called. And he was explaining kind of his founding story of being on the internet and creating a band and what it was like to actually create a community behind it and where he sees, you know, social media as well as this idea of the follower going in 2024. It was pretty interesting.
What I thought was cool is I didn't realize that the guy who started Patreon is a creator himself, and it makes sense, but he's been in the game for a minute. So he started off as a musician and he had a band. What was it called?
Pomplemousse.
I can't even pronounce that.
It's the color purple.
Okay.
It's like a shade of purple.
He had this band and he realized that he was doing these shows, but no one was showing up, and it was really hard to build a fan base and an audience of people that wanted to listen to his music. And then social media came around, and the concept of the follower really changed his life because he started uploading on YouTube and, you know, posting his music and doing covers, and people started paying attention, and he had a few videos that like went viral, and then all of a sudden, like, he's getting people that are showing up at his events and his concerts, and that really changed his life. But then he starts talking about how things have really changed within the content space, and we've really noticed it as well, like the way that content is distributed and how much content is going out nowadays, and how it's like can be kind of frustrating to have a certain amount of followers and then like a small percentage of those followers see your work.
Yeah, it's interesting because now I feel like you could have someone that has, let's just say, 500 people are following or subscribed.
Yeah.
And they might have something go off. They might have something get like 40,000, 50,000 views on something. But you might have, on the flip side of it, someone that has 1 million subscribers and something gets like 10,000 or 20,000. And it could be an amazing, insane episode, but maybe you guys shit the bed a little bit on the thumbnail that day. And no one, you know, the click-through rate on the video was terrible. So no one ended up seeing it. And it's very frustrating because you think like, oh, people are subscribing to us or people are following our page, they're going to see this thing. But that's just not always the case. It's very interesting.
What's also frustrating is when you do follow someone on, you know, TikTok or Instagram, or you're subscribed to them on YouTube, like you're hoping to see their stuff. Mm. But oftentimes, like based on the algorithm, you might be following someone or subscribe to someone and not see their content. And then all of a sudden, maybe like months later, something of theirs pops up and you're like, oh my God, I forgot I even followed that person. But it's because, you know, I feel like we all follow a ton of people, but also like so much content is being put out, and the way that the algorithm works, you don't always get to see everybody's content.
No, and 68% of you guys are actually not subscribed to the pod. So if you're a Boulder, you will go to YouTube right now, because YouTube, for those that don't know, if you can, it helps us out a ton if you watch it on YouTube. It literally helps us pay people that work under the pod. Yeah. So if you can, go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, turn the post notifications on. We always upload on Thursdays for the most part, unless there's a wild week.
Yeah.
But we'll always let you guys know on our Instagram stories as well as on, you know, as well as on YouTube, like for the subscribe situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, that was a lot of, what was that? What was going on? It's the allergies. The allergies are messing me up today.
I will say also, dude, I mean, the set looks great. You got to go over to YouTube and see how we look.
Got to check it out. Got to leave us a comment. It really does help us a ton though. And something that I thought Jack said that was interesting, and something I'm trying to just embody more, is just making more stuff, producing more to your catalog.
Yeah.
And I think that there might be some of you who maybe you're like, yo, dude, no one's seeing my stuff. I've started making content. Maybe you've done it for a few months, and you see guys like us, we've done it for more than 10 years. And I'm like, yo, no one's seeing my stuff this week, dude. What's going on with this thing? But the only thing you can do besides bitch is start posting more stuff. Those are your only real two options.
Yeah.
Bitch a little bit, start posting more stuff that you actually...
And you can do both simultaneously.
Yeah, you can bitch a little bit. You can go out to the living room and bitch, call your mom, complain a little bit, and then start making more stuff. But as an artist, as a creator, That's your only option, is to figure out what you enjoy doing and try to repeat it, you know, as many times as you possibly can, so more people can actually see the damn thing. It's so weird though, because it's this weird pendulum of balance between making the things that you want to make,
yeah,
making things that other people actually enjoy. And I think in what's the guy's name with the beard? I'm just blanking.
Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin was talking about this on Andrew Huberman's pod. He's saying how like you shouldn't create with other people's like opinions and thoughts into the work that you're producing. Otherwise, you won't produce the same work. He said it was basically like you have to make these things that you want to create. And then if other people like them, great. I kind of have an interesting take on it where I feel like you learn from the people in your community that are watching the things and enjoying it. So I feel like there is this slight necessity to almost... You don't have to take everything they say like, oh, I only should be making this style of content. But I think you're doing yourself a disservice by not engaging with the people who are also liking the things that you're posting. Because even on YouTube, you can see, oh, followers of this channel like or watching this stuff. And you can learn and see what other people are doing. And, oh, okay, people that are watching my things, they also like this person's channel. What are they doing? And maybe you pull one little tiny thing and maybe put it into your stuff. And maybe it helps people, you know, maybe it scratches a different itch that they're finding on another person's channel or something like that. It's interesting though, because then you still want to hold the art and the craft like close to you. So it's this weird double-edged sword of like trying to do some listening and trying to listen to people, but also not letting every single thing, because if you do that, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You're going to try to please tens of thousands of people or maybe even 100 people. That's a really tough crew to get all their different opinions on and then say, oh, I'm going to make it something like this. I think you have like a trusted group that you can chat to, maybe your truest fans, truest people that support your stuff. You know, learn from the things that they're asking you or that they're enjoying about your content. Keep pushing that even harder week by week when you're making more things.
I will also say, I think with the evolution of how popular and prominent short form content is, you're playing into even more of a game of like, how can I have this hook the best? Or like, how can I fit in everything that I need to say or want to say into a shorter piece of content that's 30 seconds to a minute, as opposed to a podcast like we're doing, which we can just like really talk through ideas over the course of 45 minutes to an hour, or like a 10 minute long YouTube video. But also it's vertical, so it's, you're shooting it different. You're almost like forced to go about content and creating a little bit differently. But on the topic of true fans, because this is really what the podcast is about, is the concept of building 1,000 true fans. Russ, the rapper, really love his music, but he talks about how he was making so much music and had a huge catalog of songs out before he even blew up. And he says that oftentimes artists blow up because either they're like, you know, industry plants, or they have like one like, you know, hit song that comes out and then they get discovered. It's similar to going viral, right? But if you don't have that back catalog of content for people to consume, you don't even give a new listener or a new viewer a chance to even become a fan of you, because they're like, okay, I like this one video or this one song. What else do you have? And if you don't have anything else, then you don't give them a chance to actually become a fan. And so similar to like what you were saying, we've talked about it on the podcast before, of like almost the dangers of going viral and the fact that you almost don't want to go viral because, you know, you get hit with that dopamine of all these views, you get an influx of followers. And then it's like, well, are they actually true fans of you? It's so easy to throw out a follow nowadays, especially I feel like on TikTok. It takes a little bit. I think it takes a little bit more for me to subscribe to someone on YouTube and to follow someone on Instagram than it does for me to like follow someone on TikTok. But yeah, like you were saying, it's like you need to put out a ton of stuff because you need a back catalog of content for someone to actually become a true fan of you.
I feel like YouTube is a handshake, okay? IG is just like nucks, and then TikTok is just like you're walking by and it's just like, like, hey, what's up? Yeah, it's, oh, those are weighted so differently. And yeah. Jack in his keynote, he was speaking about how like not every follow is created equal. I was talking to Colin and Samir about this at their event, at the Canon event. We were chatting about how on all of the applications on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, we're saying how most of the creator-led companies that have popped up have been built off, We said like 90%. I don't know if that's not a true statistic. Sure. I'm gonna go 94.5%. Okay. Are built off of the back of a YouTube platform because the audience is so different. You're spending extended periods of time, and you just think about a guy on the subway in New York finding you on TikTok and then continuing to scroll and going on his commute. He doesn't remember your face. He doesn't remember your account. But if I'm going on YouTube, I'm sitting up for lunch, right? Or you're sitting, you're down for dinner, or you're on your bed, right? It's late at night and you pop on YouTube, you're physically sitting there, you're engaged for 6+ minutes, maybe even 30, 40, 50 minutes on some of these people's videos. The connection is so much deeper and you feel like you really do know them, the people that you're sitting down with. And I'm sure that you might feel like, yo, you know us from the pod, and you do. You're spending more time with us in this hour than I do with most of my closest friends. Which is kind of crazy when you think about that. If we did 4 hours a month, I don't spend 4 hours a month cumulatively with my best friends.
Okay.
I don't. I really don't. Like, I think about the time that we spend together. Maybe we get like a dinner or something that's an hour and a half. We see each other maybe a few times a month. We're busy. You're doing other stuff. You really are listening and sitting with creators who make long form content more than most of your friends. Or even if you think about your mom or your dad, if you've moved out of your house, you maybe call your family a few times a week, right? Maybe five, right? Maybe those phone calls last.
I haven't seen my family in months.
You haven't?
Okay. I got dinner with my mom last night.
Damn, that's sad. But you don't talk to them for like an hour plus usually, right? Yeah. You're sitting with these people, you're listening to them, like you form a connection with them, even if it's not a two-way street, even if it's a one-way street. It's very interesting. Just the level of connection, and I feel that with the people that I watch way more on a long form scale than I ever do on a vertical scale, which is interesting. And we were chatting about it earlier. Like, I think if I was you and I'm listening to this pod right now and I want to figure out how I can cultivate a really solid community, I would think about the long form option as my first option. And then I'd split it off down the line of, okay, well, we can take that and turn it into a reel, or we could take that and turn it into a short. I think podcast and YouTube. Those are the two ways that I would be thinking about how I could create.
Well, that's also a big reason why I started making YouTube videos again. I just wanted an outlet that I could. I felt kind of not even stagnant, but I just felt like limited as to what I could create on Instagram and TikTok. I felt like there was things that I wanted to make that they just weren't conducive for Instagram. But you're so right. Like, you feel such a deeper connection, and I think of all the creators that I am a true fan of, most of them come from YouTube or a longer form piece of content. Before we continue, because that is kind of one of the tips that we want to give you as far as like not all followers are built the same, but I want to get into the concept of the 1,000 true fans. So Braden, why don't you explain it?
Yeah, essentially what 1,000 true fans is, it's 1,000 people that support your work or the thing that you're doing, and they would essentially transact with the thing that you're selling of whatever in whatever capacity that looks like, whether it's a sticker, whether it's, you know, you put out a drink company, you put out a memory card, you put out a hoodie. Those are your truest fans, and you need to be always thinking about ways to connect with this specific community is what Kevin talked about in his book.
The concept of the 1,000 true fans, it relates to honestly all of us as creators, because it can be so easy to get caught up in, oh my God, I want 1,000,000 followers, or feeling like, you know, unless I have 100,000 followers or hundreds of thousands or millions of followers, like, I can't be successful as a creator. And that's just not the case. You really just need 1,000 people that fuck with you.
Yeah. And he said in the book, he was like, if 1,000 people were to spend $10 a year on your thing, it's $100,000.
Yeah.
And most people can live comfortably off of that kind of money. You know what I mean? And you can do your dream. And so, like you were saying, people see like the biggest creators ever, these people with 20, 30 million subscribers or followers on these accounts. They're like, that's what I need to have to actually make it. It's like, no, you don't. You don't really need to. You just need to be able to provide enough value to a small, tight-knit group of people to where they're like, this thing would actually provide value in my life. I'm willing to transact on it with you. And this is helpful for me, you know? And you learn these things by, honestly, by doing. You're making content. You're talking to people. You're growing your community. You're talking with your community. I still don't understand today why people don't respond to their comments, they don't respond to their DMs. It never will make sense to me, because those are the people that if they're going out of their way to comment something on your page, on your feed, it's it's just, it's awesome. And it's the reason why you're able to do the things that you were doing. I think most people forget that as they get bigger and they're like, oh, now I have this number, or I'm busy, I'm doing this bigger stuff, I don't have to comment back, or I don't have to respond to the DMs. I have so many cool conversations with people all the time in the DMs. I was just at home last night and I was responding to a few DMs, and one popped up from someone who's leaving school in a few weeks. I was like, you know what? I have a sec. Let me like respond with a video. And just doing that, that piece of advice might shoot someone forward in the thing that they're doing, or ease some anxiety, ease some nerves. And you never know who you're going to talk to or what that person ends up doing. They might end up high up at a company one day and they're like, we should hire this person. He helped me when I was in school. Yeah. You just literally never know where these little convos will go. And I don't think enough people use the damn thing for what it's supposed to. Those social networking apps are to create more network of people that you can just chat to, not to have like a million followers. And we've kind of gotten clouded with what I feel like the true purpose of them was for in the very beginning.
But even having you could take a creator who has, 50,000 followers, and then another creator who has hundreds of thousands, if not millions. But the person who has 50,000 followers has a more, dedicated audience, more actual true fans, and is willing to monetize more because they have people that actually fuck with them on a deeper level. Like, the number of followers that you have doesn't really matter. It's kind of bullshit. It's arbitrary. Like, most of them aren't even seeing your stuff anyways. It's how many of the people that click that follow or subscribe button are willing to go out of their way to give you more than just a like or a comment. It's like, are they willing, like you said, to transact, outside of this social media thing? Are they willing to buy, a hoodie or a t-shirt that you make, or a product that you put out?
And I think a big one that I talk to a lot of creators about is they're almost, it may be in their families is a thing where they don't talk about money, or they don't talk about selling stuff. And some people think that
it's taboo.
Yeah. Some people think that selling stuff is bad, and that like, oh, you shouldn't try to take, you don't want to take people's hard-earned money. It's like, no, that's a bad way to think about it. As a person who's living on this planet, you got to sell something.
Yeah.
Whether you work for another company, you're selling their thing to other people, or whether, whether you're trading your time for money, whether you're washing cars, whatever the thing is, you have to sell something.
Try not selling something.
Yeah, try not selling something. You'll end up on the sidewalk on the 405 freeway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Seriously. And you have to understand, though, that as long as you don't scam people and you put out a good product, something that people will actually use. It's not salesy. It's not salesy to sell something. It's salesy to scam someone out of like that traditional like sleeky salesman that you're thinking of when I say that word. That's not good. But as long as you create a good product and something that's actually going to help people, the amount of things that, like, for example, that I sell a sound effects pack, right? The amount of
Link in bio.
The amount of people that get referred to it, I don't even have to sell it.
Sure.
People just get, my friend bought this, said it was really good. Yeah. I bought it. I like it. That's amazing. Because then the thing sells itself for you if it's actually a good product. And I think creators need to take a step back and realize that if you sell your presets, or if you sell your LUTs or a transition pack or film burns or whatever the damn thing, your time, a program, educational thing, that's not bad. That's how you'll actually be able to live. And Jack talks about this in Patreon. That's what Patreon was created for.
Yeah.
So people can actually own the distribution, right? When you post on Instagram or you post on YouTube, whatever, you don't own who's seeing the stuff. People can just see it freely, right? And I don't think you should not produce things for free. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, though, that you should have something that you're selling, and you should own something, so you don't have to rely solely on the brand to come to you and bail you out. The worst thing ever from the friends that we have that are in social media is them telling us, I just had a big deal, but then it was dry for like a month and a half. That's the worst case that you don't want to get into that.
Or if you're a freelancer, you're like, I had, maybe two or three jobs last month, and I'm waiting. I don't know if I'm going to be able to work this month because I have no incoming leads or jobs lined up. And having something that you are selling on top of your actual service, whether you're a photographer, content creator, videographer, whatever it is you do as your skill, if you have a product that you can sell on top of that, you can get some additional income. But it's hard to sell that without true fans.
Yeah, 100%. And there was a guy on YouTube whose videos that I like a lot. His name is The Wandering DP. And he creates super helpful videos on people that are trying to become DPs. He breaks down lighting stuff. And he has a Patreon too. And he was on the other day on one of his videos. He was like, if you guys want to check out my Patreon, he does you know, he's like, you don't have to buy it, but he's like, it helps me actually keep the channel growing. And he was saying how he doesn't have to go on as many film shoots. He goes, and they take so much time, yeah, take 8-10 hours of my day, or I'm gone from my family or whatever. He's like, I can just review these videos. I've done it for a long time. He's been a DP for a while, and I can just help you guys get into it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And it's something that only today has that been, is that possible because of the internet, because of the phone, because of the social applications that we're able to use and connect with people from all over the world who are trying to do similar things,
yeah,
or get into this space. You have no idea the reach. Even, dude, when we're packing up, not this hoodie, the 505 hoodies, right? The really cool 505 hoodies. We sent one to like Sweden. We sent one to the UK. We sent
international, baby.
Australia. Yeah. And it's so cool to think, though, that someone on the complete flip side of the earth is seeing a video and having an impact on them and then deciding to support us. It's like, that's the coolest feeling ever to know that you're having a true impact with people. And you find that out from these, yeah, from your true fans by chatting with them and, yeah, learning and making things where the people feel a part of, yeah, said community. Like, and I think about the communities that I've been a part of from other creators in on YouTube, on Instagram, and it's like, it's a secondary touch point. It's not just the comment section. It's a Discord of sorts.
Yeah.
It's a website. It's a meetup. I think the coolest people that I've met have, I've went to YouTuber meetups when I was in college, like my freshman year, maybe the first ever meetup that I went to. So cool to meet other people who are also chasing the same thing that, yeah, you're going after. And I think that you guys got to think about things that you can do, even if it's just two people, three people. It doesn't have to be 500 people to have, mm-hmm, a meetup of sorts. You could have a meetup in your town for just creative people that want to go make a video on their Saturday or on their Sunday. Dude, some rocks that are in our Discord posted the other day, they were doing a spec commercial meetup.
So sick.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was Lucas, JD, I think Sheriff, maybe a few other, oh, and Ben, a few others that were a part of that. But they did a meetup and they have people going. They did like a Vans commercial.
How fun.
Decent amount of people showed up. That's, yeah, awesome, though. That connects people, that, you know, brings people together. You see people out in real life. And I think you always got to think about that. And it doesn't have to be 500. It can be two. You and a buddy.
Someone who does have a lot of true fans, who I'm fan of, is Frank Ocean.
Okay.
And I'm a true fan of his because I really like his music. And he performed at Coachella last year and just kind of blew it. And so me and Frank kind of beefing right now. Still not sure if I'm like still a true fan of his. And then a song of his will come on shuffle and I'm like, God damn, he makes good music. But that's kind of what you're after as an artist, is like the main reason why I went out to Coachella last year. And granted, this is on like the biggest scale. He was headlining and I'm a true fan. So I'm like, I'm going to figure out a way to go to Coachella next year or this year and watch him. But if you are going to, you know, put out something or go perform, just make sure you're not scamming people. You're actually singing the songs, because then people will beef with you and it's not a good look. And I'm still not over it. And I just wanted to bring it up on the podcast while we're talking about it, because I don't know if he's listening to this podcast or not. But yeah, Frank, I was just really, really disappointed with that Coachella performance. You know who else I'm a true fan of?
Tell me.
Lexar Memory.
Gosh, they were at NAB. They dropped some cool stuff, man.
I wish we could have gone. Next year, for sure, we're going to be out there. Without a doubt. Yeah, dude, they dropped the Lexar SL500, which is an SSD drive. They've been crushing the memory card game, but now they're in the SSD game.
Then this thing is quick. What's the read and write? What do we got? Tell me.
2000 megabyte read speed and 1800 megabyte write speed.
Lock me in, man.
I was using it because they gave it to me early. Shout out, Lexar. I was using it on my Portugal trip, like editing all my photos, and it's like so wicked fast. I feel like you don't understand what you don't have until like you have that upgraded version and had no issues with it. It's lightning quick. Like the transfer speeds that you put from your Lexar memory card onto the SSD drive, super quick. And I love it.
Dude, and time is money. So go check out Lexar's SSD as well as the memory cards that we got linked down below.
Who are you a true fan of?
I definitely feel like I'm a true fan of Christian Guzman in the fitness space. I don't even watch his videos anymore, but I enjoy that he helped me get to where I'm at. He was definitely a part of the journey, even though he follows me. We follow each other. We're mutual buddies on the gram. Maybe one day
get him on the pod.
One day we're gonna get him on the pod. Yeah. I'd love to get him on the pod. But I felt indebted to him because I went from being 110 pounds soaking wet, little guy, to in that same summer I got up to like 170, and I was just learning and watching his YouTube videos. And so I was like, you know what? I'll buy a hoodie. I'll buy a pair of joggers. I'll buy some shorts. Give me some socks.
You gained 50 pounds in a summer.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. 2 mass gainer protein shakes a day, 6 meals a day, dude. I was bloated 24/7, but I got yoked in that summer. 2 months every day. Day.
That's what I need to do.
2-a-days most of the days. That's for a kid that's not working at all.
that's for a kid who's not living, working living or paying for groceries and having your mom cooking meals.
Yeah, Brenda was like, dude, you're eating me out of house and home, dude. It was just meal prep all in the fridge. But no,
chicken, rice. Steak, rice,
gym twice, home. Yeah, it was something. But something that you guys should think about though is the quality of these relationships you're building, not the quantity. And like you brought it up earlier, how you take the person who has 1 million, but their audience isn't engaged. You take the person with 50,000. You're taking the person with 50,000 every day of the week of the most engaged audience. And you know, your content shouldn't be for every single person.
Totally.
That's a big misconception, I think, when you start out, or like I had people even when we started the pod. Feel the need for some reason to tell me, yeah, I just don't care about the camera stuff. That's cool that you're doing it. I'm like, it's not for you. It's not for you. The pod isn't for someone who isn't into the same things that we're into. That's why it's a thing. You're making it for a very specific group of people that are going to enjoy the things that you enjoy, right? Or that's why there's a niche for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fish tank niche out in the world. There's a huge group of them. There's a huge group of tech review people that only want to hear or talk about tech. I think that people get caught up in that when maybe a comment or someone's like, yo, I don't care about this. It's not for them. It's for a very specific group of people that enjoy the same things that you want to talk about, right? Those are people you're trying to attract more of.
I would also say, going off of that, you want to focus on quality and not quantity in the quality of your work. Like, just because you put out a ton of work doesn't mean you're going to garner a true fan. I don't think anyone's a true fan of someone who puts out mediocre work.
No.
You're not like, yo, I love this dude. His shit's like, meh, you know? That video was like subpar, but like, I'm a true fan of his.
Love this guy.
Like, to garner a true fan and a real fan base, you have to put out good work. And, you know, art is subjective. The kind of stuff that we make is subjective. Someone might love it, someone might hate it. Like you said, Brayden, your work shouldn't be for everyone. That's how you target a niche audience and grow a true fan base, is like you make stuff that isn't for everyone. But at the end of the day, like, it does have to be good quality content.
Agreed. And ways that you can talk to your people more and connect with them more are a few different ways. You have like newsletters, you have potentially a Discord, you could do in real life meetups, something that we wanted to do. We were chatting about this off the pod last week and we didn't say it, but we might want to do like a beach day in the summer / maybe we go for a little run in the morning and then go head over to the beach, you know, plunge into the water, play some spike ball, just anything that we can do to be with people more in real life settings, especially out here. I think that's just a fun, easy way to connect with more people. And the other ones that people use, they'll use like a text message chain. I don't personally like the text message things. I don't know what your thoughts are on them. I just see people doing them.
The only text message chain that I signed up for was Gary V's and I unsubscribed quickly.
It's just the same.
Eat shit. I'm like, Gary, it's fucking 8:30 in the morning. I just woke up. Like, let me have my coffee first. God damn, bro.
That's funny. I think the Discord's a fun one because then people can chat.
Yeah.
I think newsletters are really cool because you can provide value in like a minute of time. You can even have with your closest fans, you could have DM group chats on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like up to, I think, 20 people you can add in a chat like that.
I just think that the takeaway from this point is you want to build direct relationships. We're all dealing with algorithms that we don't really know how we work or what content is prioritized, right? So even if you have a certain amount of followers, the chances of everybody seeing it, it's just not going to happen. A small percentage of your followers might see it. But if you can build direct relationships, you know, where you're not fighting against an algorithm in the DMs, Discord, wherever it may be, like you're direct to consumer, you can hit them directly, you know they're going to see it. Focus on those relationships because that's where you're able to build a deeper connection with your followers.
Yeah, and our next one is just to, use multiple platforms. You don't have to just be on YouTube or just on Instagram. I think we saw this. The biggest takeaway from this point is when they said TikTok was going to be banned.
Yeah.
Whether it is or isn't, whatever happens, right? But the thought of the people with millions or where maybe a few hundred thousand or whatever, where their businesses are all solely relying on TikTok shop or TikTok as a whole, you don't want to be sitting there with your basket and say, whoa, they just took the app away. Like, yeah. I'm just stuck here. You know, you want to have a diversified group where if you're posting good content on Instagram and it's vertical, or on TikTok and it's vertical, go post it on Shorts, go post it on Instagram, other places that people can see your work and find, you know, your story out about what you're doing. And like we were saying earlier, transition people to another place for the supporters that are really rocking with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Have that Discord, have the newsletter, have another way they can talk to you, or like another platform of where people can congregate in case something were to happen where Congress takes away TikTok and then you're sitting there like a fish out of water because you didn't, you know, diversify the platforms that you were using and engaging on.
Yeah, I will say it can feel overwhelming at times to be like, I got to post on all these platforms. And we've even talked about wanting to create a newsletter, and it's something that I would love to do because I think that it would be great to have something go out to your guys' emails, you know, tell you guys about like the week's pod, what it's about, a little bit of information on what we talked about or the guest that we had, and maybe tell you guys a little bit more about what we have going on. But it can feel overwhelming. Like, you know, a newsletter by itself might not seem like the craziest thing in the world because you're just typing up an email, but like the thought of adding that on top of like everything that we're already doing with the podcast and everything else that we have going on, it can feel kind of like a lot. But you want to try to work smarter and not harder. So I think the best way to do that is a perfect example is like, okay, we have the long form podcast. It's easy to break that into clips. And it's like the short form content is already built in to the long form content that you're building. And like, if you can reduce friction as much as possible, that allows you to create content easier and for multiple platforms and to diversify yourself.
Yeah. And we touched on earlier, but how they're not all created equally. Every like, every follower, every subscriber, whatever, it's not all the same. And someone might like watch the pod and they only watch it on Reels. One of you might watch it every single week on YouTube and you lock in with your leisure and you're kicking it on the couch, watching the show. You're dialed. You're one of the OG rock. You know what I mean?
Or just audio.
Yeah. You might just lock in on audio when you're on your run at the gym. There's just so many different ways to consume something like this or something long form, even, you know, like a YouTube video. Some people might just have it on the background while they're vacuuming or, you know, cleaning up their house or their room, whatever. Understanding that though and figuring out what are these different touch points like for different segments of the people that support our show or our YouTube videos, and figuring out, okay, well, if these people are only on Instagram and they're not over to YouTube, how can I maybe, you know, engage with them enough on YouTube to try to get them to go over to YouTube and watch the full length 5-7 minute video?
Do they even know you're posting on YouTube? Are you promoting your other platforms on your main platform? Another thing that we started incorporating onto our YouTube channel with the podcast, not sure if you guys have noticed this. If you haven't, go check it out. We're taking the long form podcasts and we're posting shorter clips, not reels, not TikToks, not YouTube shorts. I'm talking about like 2 to 5 to 7 minute segments that we talk about on the episode, and we're putting that as its own YouTube video. And that's another way that we're trying to think of like, okay, how do people consume podcasts? Well, when I sit down to eat lunch, I know that I'm gonna be eating lunch from anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes, right? And so it's like, do I have time and do I really want to sit through an hour or an hour and a half long podcast? No, I kind of want to just click on like the most interesting part of the podcast that whoever I'm listening to, they put out a shorter clip. I can watch like 1 to 3 of these like 5 minute clips. And that's just another way to consume content. And so that's almost like a shorter form content. It's like in the middle, right? It's like we have the long form YouTube, we have now the shorter form YouTube stuff, and then we also have like the short clips.
And it's like almost a pitch to a person who might find you on their search and say, hey, you know, we know you don't want to try us out for an hour. That's a lot. It's a long commitment, but try it for 7, 5, 6, 7 minutes. And maybe you'll stay and be like, all right, I'll hang out with the whole episode. I'll see what's up. This provided some value to me.
It also gives our audience more chances to consume our content. And kind of what you were saying, like you got to create a ton of content, right? Maybe somebody doesn't see that we dropped the episode on Thursdays, you know what I'm saying? But maybe like they're on YouTube another day, or like YouTube recommends to a new person the short form clip, but not the full length episode. Okay, now we have an opportunity to garner a new fan. And if they watch one, maybe they'll watch another, and maybe they'll turn into a true fan.
Yeah, and you gotta nurture your rocks. You gotta do that. That's a big one. Figuring out, like, if you don't have to stick to a posting schedule necessarily. I don't think that's like end all be all. You must post once a week, or you must post every day. But I think establishing in your head some level of consistency that you can stick to, whether you do a YouTube video twice a month, whether you do a podcast once a week, and getting it out on time. And if you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't make a promise that you can't keep, right? Like if you can't make a promise on YouTube, then don't make a promise and just upload when you can, and try to establish some level of consistency to it, whether it's once every few weeks, once every week. I'm going to produce few Instagram pieces of content. I'm going to do a story every day, keep people up to date with what I'm doing on a daily basis. Every single person, it's going to look different depending on your workflow, depending on how busy you are. But I think having a consistent effort of things that you're producing, it will be really helpful for your brand and for everything that you're doing in the future.
And not only being consistent with the amount of content that you're putting out and producing, but like, how often are you engaging with your audience in the DMs? Maybe you respond to a comment, or maybe you respond to all your comments on one post this week, but not the next. Stay consistent with how often you're engaging with your community.
I also think you gotta provide exclusive things for the people that support you. For example, for our YouTube squad, or for people that are really dialed in with us on Instagram, we'll post work review, and only people that see that are really dialed in with the stuff that we're producing are going to be able to get their work reviewed. Like, I remember after, and they just might not see it, but for a whole few days we posted a ton of different links of like, hey, send us your work to be reviewed, and we'll do another one of those in like a month and a half. But once we post the reviews, we got hundreds of more DMs saying, dude, watch this. We're like, hey, in a month, we're more than happy to do it. But there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people hitting us with review the work. So it's going to be great, because next time we're going to have a great squad again to be able to do this with. But that's just another way, though, of helping out your squad, helping out people that are following you. I think I met this guy at Colin and Samir's thing who was an IT tech guy.
Okay.
And he also made content for people where he would live stream. And if you needed a question, he would like bring you in, and then you could ask it to him. So that's another way of someone providing value in the thing that they know the best, bringing in their audience, bringing in the people that support them, and saying, okay, how can I help you? How can I solve this problem? You know,
I think the thing that comes with providing exclusive content is you need to have true fans in order to do that. For example, you take Patreon, like no one's going to sign up for your Patreon or exclusive content unless they're a real true fan of yours. So keep in mind that like creating exclusive content like a Patreon, that comes after you've done all these previous steps and actually nurtured your community and created enough content and grown your fan base to have enough, like to have actual true fans that are willing to, you know, pay you, you know, X amount every month, or really tap in with your content, because that's a big ask. Like the Patreon stuff specifically, it's like, people feel a certain way about subscriptions, right?
Yeah, people don't love a subscription. I feel like in 24, people aren't loving subscriptions.
And you have to really provide enough value, like to do the exclusive content, and you have to stay consistent too. It's like you have to be, if you're doing Patreon or exclusive content, which I think is like a great model for a lot of creators once they have the true fans, but you have to stay consistent, and your fans have to feel like what they're getting versus how much they're paying, it's worth it, or else they'll feel like you're scamming them a little bit.
Yeah, and then people unsubscribe, you'll have people churn, and they'll be gone, and your people will talk about your thing not actually being worth it.
Speaking of Patreon though,
hmm.
We've kind of gone back and forth, like, do we do a Patreon? Do we do some sort of exclusive content? If we were to do, you know, the podcast is always going to be free. Everything that we're doing right now will always be free. But we've been trying to think of ideas like, is there extra stuff you guys would want to see from us? And if we were to start a Patreon, I'm not saying we are, but if we were to, what would you guys want to see from us? Maybe if you guys give us some ideas, we're like, oh, that could be cool. Like, be down for that. Right now, we have a few ideas, but we're not really sure what we would even post on a Patreon.
Like, it could be more work reviews on a weekly basis or something like that, but let us know if that's something that you'd want. Like, what else would you want to see behind the scenes of 505, how it works, etc. Could be interesting.
You know what we're doing right there though? We're gathering feedback.
Gathering feedback. It's a big one.
And you got to listen to your fans, man. Like, your guys' feedback is invaluable to us. That's how you know as a creator what's working, what's not. Should I stick with this or do I need to pivot?
Yeah, and you get, I think there's so many companies in the world that would love direct feedback on the things that they're doing. Like food brands, drink brands, they're like, they wanna hear from the people that are actually consuming and trying the thing, what their thoughts are on it. And I think it's really cool, like in the creator economy, you do have like access to the people. You can send them a direct message. Doesn't mean they'll respond, but there's a very high likelihood, especially if they're not like superstar famous on like Casey Neistat kind of level, they'll see that your message or they'll see the question that you're asking. And I think that's one of the coolest things to be able to actually chat and have, you know, a dialogue with someone whose things you might be a supporter of, which is really cool.
Yeah. And then the last tip we have for you guys is scale gradually. You may not want to hear it, that it's going to take a while, but to really garner a true fan, it takes a while. You can't just post one piece of content, somebody likes it, someone finds you, and think that they're going to support you for the rest of your life. It just doesn't work like that. Like, things worth building take time.
You're playing a long game. But we said it earlier, you're not there to try to go viral every single time you post a piece of content. You're there to talk to one singular person. And when you describe that person out on a piece of paper and you get very specific about the things they like, the things they don't like, the things that you're trying to talk to them about, it becomes exponentially easier for you to create this content on a daily, monthly, weekly basis. And you'll be able to grow from one person who supports your stuff to 5 and then 10 and then 10,000. And pretty soon you'll have a full-fledged operating machine and you'll have an awesome group of people that are supporting the things that you're interested in. And it's a beautiful thing. And I want all of you to be financially free. I want you to be stable. I don't want you to have to rely on an email to come into your inbox to actually allow you to pay rent that month. And I hope you take something from this and put it into the things that you're trying to create on social, because, man, we want you to win. We want you to go from little baby rock to boulder baby.
Hell yeah.
Please hit that subscribe button, leave us a like, and we'll see you guys all next week. Peace.
Later.